This episode was sponsored by Critical Dice and the Endless Bag of Dice.
Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So then we have, this one's just fun to say, the I swear I can say it, the Mephistopheles Tiefling. So Mephistopheles is going to be one who focuses on arcane power. And so his tieflings master arcane magic. And also his realm is kind of also cold. So their legacy is the legacy of Kania, and they get Mage Hand. Third level, they get Burning Hands. And then on fifth level, they get the Flame Blade spell. And each of those is long rest, and their ability score is stock. So that's +2 charisma, +1 intelligence. And then I'm going to skip down to the last one from Mordekainen's, which is the Zariel Tiefling. So Zariel is the lord of the first level of the Nine Hells, Avernus, the book that came out not too long ago. And what's interesting about Zariel is Zariel used to be an angel, like straight up divine smites, I'm going to kill all the evildoers, and was corrupted and kind of tricked, misled by Asmodeus into being the new lord of Avernus, which is really, really interesting. And so her tieflings are the most different, perhaps, that we've seen so far. So a +2 to charisma, a +1 to strength, thaumaturgy cantrip. Third level, they can cast Searing Smite, which is typically going to be a paladin spell, but they get it as a second level spell they can do once per long rest. And then at fifth level, they can cast Branding Smite. You're starting to notice the idea there. Once per long rest with that. And Charisma, of course, being the spell casting ability modifier.
This reminds me of Moana. When mm-hmm. Maui's like, I will smite you. Do you want to be smoten?
Smitten? Yeah.
And so, it makes sense with the paladin trait. Like if it kind of comes from a, you know, if you want to call it a fallen angel or a, mm-hmm. you know, corrupted angel, however you want to see that, like that tie-in makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because it's the whole theme with her is, you know, that I will punish the wicked thing taken to an extreme. So where it's not about divine justice, it's just kind of about anger. It's just about destruction. And so that's the kind of the corruption happening there. And so having the smite spells being kind of the natural things is really awesome. And I would love to see a paladin be played by a Zariel Tiefling.
Yeah, it's like the Punisher without a code.
Yeah. And I'm not, and man, the Punisher does not have a strong code in the first place. So, yeah. And then the last one is not from Mordekainen's. It's actually from everyone's favorite book that they don't know about, The Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide. And so these are they call them the Feral Tiefling. But the idea here is that, since all tieflings from the player's handbook are from Asmodeus, how about we give some variations among the different tieflings from Asmodeus, because he is the lord of all the nine hells, not just his plane of it. So he is a bit beefier, more potent, as it were. And so they even give you some different options to choose as far as like features and things, like smaller horns or a forked tongue or cat-like eyes or six fingers on each hand, goat-like legs, forked tail, leathery or scaly skin, and red or, oh, here it is, dark blue skin.
Ah.
Or that they cast no shadow or have no reflection, or they always smell like brimstone. So there's a bunch more options in there. Again, just giving credence to the, do what you want when it comes to the way your tiefling looks. And these are kind of wild. So what's interesting here is that with these, you can choose any of these three variations, but you can't choose more than one. You just have to do this. And so the first one is the Devil Tongue variant. So they get to know the Vicious Mockery cantrip. At third level, they get Charm Person. And then at fifth level, the Enthrall spell. It's a per long rest. Charisma is the spell casting ability, and it replaces the Infernal Legacy trait. And all these do that. They replace that Infernal Legacy trait, like we saw with all the ones from Murder Cannons. And then we have the Hellfire variant. At third level, they kept Burning Hands, and that's it. All it does is...
That's all I got.
Yeah, Burning Hands. That's it. So what it basically does, the Hellfire one, instead of Hellish Rebuke in Infernal Legacy, it just swaps it out for Burning Hands instead of Hellish Rebuke. That's all it does.
Okay.
So everything else is normal. But I think
you still have your Thaumaturgy as well as your...
As well as Darkness, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it doesn't do as much changing, but I feel like there were some better ones we saw in, I think, what was it, Ferna that had that? No, was it Glazia? Mephistopheles. Yeah, I think that there's more interesting options there with Mephistopheles.
You just wanted a chance to say that name again, didn't you?
And redeem myself, yes. and then this is a cool one. Or the last one here for Asmodeus is a winged tiefling. So you have bat-like wings from the shoulder blades, flying speed of 30 feet, as long as you're not weighed down by like heavy armor or something. And that replaces the entire Infernal Legacy trait. You have no magic. You just have bat wings. That's it.
Huh, I can't decide if that's a blessing or a curse. I mean, no pun intended, right? But still.
Yeah, I know, because flying at first level is a big deal in D&D, and they rarely do it. I think only the Aarakocra are the other like really like common race that can just fly at first level. Even some of the Genasi can only like levitate limitedly. At first level, and so they make you give up a ton of stuff in order to have this one thing.
I mean, just pair it with a really good class.
Yeah, exactly. But that's intimidating as heck. Like, you already got the whole...
You got the horns and the tail, and then now you have bat wings.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you could just terrorize an entire town at night. Like, make them think a full-on demon is there, and they're like leaving offerings and sacrifices. Like, that could go bad fast. Or great, depending on who you are.
So the Feral Tiefling is not a sub-race. It is its own race.
Yes and no. It's like all the others. They're sub-races. There are variations on the stock Tiefling, but they are sub-races in that way, but yet they do a little bit different things than most typical sub-races, where it's not about like, here's all the stock stuff plus this. It's replacing some things from the stock instead of just adding things from the stock.
Right. I think it's confusing as is, because I know on D&D Beyond that it's actually listed as its own race choice.
Right, and that's why. Because it replaces things from the base model instead of adding things from the base model. And that
they all do.
No. Well, all the tieflings do, yeah. But like none of the other races do that. And so even from like getting really meta here, like the way that the computer program is going to handle that is different. So it ends up being a different sub-race. Different race altogether, not a sub-race.
Oh, there's so much good stuff to play with here.
Yeah.
And so lastly, now that we have these 6 million different types of tieflings that you can play, let's do our pairing suggestions. I mean, and I think this is going to be really fun because you can go super expected with like, well, you're a rogue or you're a thief, because that's what people expect you to be. That was the only opportunities that you got. Or you can go with the, I'm going to prove you wrong and be the paladin or be, you know, some of these other things. And yeah. So the playing field's wide open, but what are some of your favorite combinations?
Yeah. So the most common combinations, especially coming from just the player's handbook, is going to be warlock, is going to be sorcerer, bard as well, because the high charisma is really, really great. The things you're going to see oftentimes. And then But when it comes to all the options from Mordekainen's and Sword Coast Adventurer's Guide, you can play whatever you want. Just whatever you want. Like, I can't wait to see a barbarian Zerial tiefling or a paladin Zerial tiefling that have those like innate smites and the bonuses to strength and stuff. I think that would be phenomenal. Where they just come in red skin and horns raging, and then all of a sudden, you know, channel infernal smiting power through their greatsword and take someone down. I'm just like, that's horrifying. I love that. So basically, when it comes to tieflings, do what you want.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Compendium this week, guys. I hope you enjoyed listening to the conversation that Jason and I had. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast so that you're always the first to know every time a new episode is published. They come out every Tuesday and Friday, or if you're a patron on our Patreon account, every Monday and Thursday, since you'll get them a day early. If you'd like to learn more between episodes, you can always follow us on social media by looking up the Compendium, C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.